Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. For the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, of course, being that it's Wednesday, there is a new blog up, so swing on over there and check that out. But we do have various content throughout the week, so you want to just kind of continue over there to see what's going on. You know, no matter what the day is. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we, of course, would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, yeah, come on, you know it by now, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Dan, you know, we had the surprising day off yesterday, just kind of came out of nowhere. And, I gotta tell you, Dan, I am so tired of LeBron James garbage. You know, it's like now he's going after Charles Barkley cause Barkley criticized him on air, and you know, he really gave it to Barkley. You know, the weird thing about it was LeBron got very personal where, you know, Barkley was talking about him as a professional, you know, as a basketball player. LeBron went after Barkley on a personal level. And now I don't know who did it for him, but somebody in LeBron's team went out and did quite a bit of research to get, you know, the stuff on Barkley, and, you know, they were very accurate and, you know, right on with all the fun stuff. But, you know, I'm just fed up with it, Dan. I don't understand. Does he think this paints him in a better light that he attacked Charles Barkley?
I think so, but I mean, I don't know if it was, I think it was last night. And yeah, it had to be last night because obviously I wasn't doing this. Our local mothership affiliate actually had Charles on, and Charles goes, yeah, well, you know, it's easy to find that stuff on me. Yeah, I threw a guy through a window, and if it was up higher, I still would have threw him through it. He goes, you know, if there's one thing I didn't do was attack him on a personal level. And he goes, and he wants to attack me. He goes, you know, it is what it is. He goes, but he's upset because I'm doing my job, and I called him out for whining and complaining about a team that, while they were losing, is still in first place. So, and then he did mention and brought up several other instances. He goes, you know, he could bring up this, he could bring up that. And he goes, you know, and he could bring up the I'm not a role model commercial all he wants, but he goes, that was the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. You know, he even went on to say that. He goes, you know, I'm the only person in the history of the world who got in trouble for telling kids to listen to their parents.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a point there. He really was the only guy they dogged for doing that. But, yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm just so tired of it. It's like, really, can we move on now? You know, and I know the Cavaliers were trying to solve their problem today. You know, they had a big tryout with, you know, I don't know if you got around to the blog. No, I wasn't invited, but I don't know if you got around to the blog yet, but the four big names invited were Mario Chalmers, Jordan Farmar, Lance Stevenson, and Kirk Heinrich.
Dude, all these guys are not playing.
Yeah, well, you know, when you go through it, it's actually Stevenson and Chalmers are recovering from injuries. So they're, you know, they're bouncing back. Farmar actually played two games with the Sacramento Kings earlier in the year. Heinrich is the only one who hasn't been playing with anybody since last season after he, you know, split some time between the Hawks and the Bulls. There were other people invited besides these four guys. These were just the four names you could say that were recognizable out of this. But kind of getting back to the LeBron Barkley thing, I would love to get your opinion on Dwayne Wade jumping in and taking LeBron's side. I believe his quote was something to the effect of, "It's about time somebody went after Charles," or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess I could go with what Chuck said. And he goes, well, you know, you got to expect a third, you know, part of the front of his front. He goes, but, you know, let him say what he wants. But he goes, my job is to do my job. My job is not to be these guys' friends. He goes, and that's the problem with everybody today. And he's meeting many of the journalists, you know, the guys that don't cover the sport, the guys that cover the sport, follow the team, whatever. He even mentioned, and I thought this was really good, he goes, you know, they're trying to portray it as my opinion doesn't matter because I don't, you know, he doesn't have any of the titles. But he goes, if you think about it, about 98% of the journalists, everyone that covers, you know, all the games for all the sports, half of them didn't even play a day in their life. So if his opinion doesn't matter, then nobody should, because it's, you know, it's irrelevant. And he goes, you know, everyone's just upset because he's doing his job. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for Dwayne Wade to come out and say anything, I mean, now I'm truly, truly believing that he only did what he did here in Chicago to get payday. He's not in it for the love of the team anymore. Paid, and you know, it's like a hangout. You know, it's kind of like to equate it to what we used to do at independent wrestling. You know, it's like the old guys who, you know, no offense to you, will walk in the locker room, get paid a little bit, you know, get paid more than everybody, but don't do anything and sit around acting like they're, you know, stuff don't stink, which, as the way things are going here in Chicago, I'm feeling like he's almost like the very bottom in the locker room.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, you know, because it's kind of like, you know, you would think Dwayne would have a bigger issue with maybe trying to make the Bulls better instead of worrying what's going on with his buddy LeBron. You know, I mean, there, you know, there's no hope for this damn team, and you know, he was supposed to be here to help it.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean,
after what happened in the last couple of weeks, what he said, and, you know, and then to be all buddy buddy, I just, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird because, like, that's kind of how I feel. I'm just kind of like, please shut up. You know, I don't want to.
Well, let me ask you this, and maybe you can ask Schaumburg to do this, you know, and I would say a tweet, but he doesn't get that far out there. But, I mean, I can live with the 500 Bulls team. I could live with it. I could watch it. I was enjoying it, even when they were losing. But after all the BS that's come out, I don't even want to watch it.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're a difficult team to watch. And, you know, the weird thing with them is, you know, obviously Wade is no longer the Dwayne Wade he used to be. You know, however you want to call it, however you want to look at it, he's not that guy. And I kept reading things yesterday about how the Bulls, apparently meaning the front office, they didn't attribute this quote to anybody, were all of a sudden not sold on Jimmy Butler's star power and are back on the market of you know, wanting to deal him. So, you know, obviously, you know, you start looking at this team and it's so clear now the front office here has absolutely no idea what they're doing. You know, it was just 2 years ago they decided Jimmy Butler was their guy and they signed him to a max extension long term because they were going to build the team around him. You know, then to add to it, they moved Derrick Rose, so it is now Jimmy Butler's team. There's no more question about, well, is it D. Rose's team? Is it Jimmy Butler's team? You know, Rose is gone. He plays for the Knicks. It's exclusively Jimmy Butler's team. And now they're deciding that maybe he's not the star they thought he was. Okay, well, you know, you got that. And then you add that this was their hand-picked coach. You know, they couldn't get Tom Thibodeau out of town fast enough when they had the opportunity. You know, this was their guy. You know, Paxson wanted Fred Hoiberg for years. Now you got him, and you've stunk 2 years in a row. You know, you weren't a playoff team last year. You're on the verge of not being a playoff team this year. You don't even, okay, you know, so you get in, you're the 7 or 8 seed. You know, you're going right out in the first round. I mean, so whoopee, technically you're a playoff team, but you're not. You know, how, I don't, you know, and I get it. Okay, Jerry Reinsdorf, the team's owner, is very loyal. We've seen it with the White Sox. You know, I'm so baffled by the fact that, you know, I thought most owners wanted to win. I think in reality, most owners want to make money. But winning is a big plus towards making that money. I just don't understand how he sits on his hands like this and watches these guys just literally be clueless as to what's going on. You know, you've got to start to wonder. You think he's got to have somebody in his ear, maybe, unless that somebody is John Paxton. You know, it's just, you know, I keep, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, well, you know, obviously this is a huge embarrassment for, you know, the team. You know, another one, you know, they had all the infighting, and, you know, that's incredibly embarrassing when your team goes through stuff like that because, you know, obviously your coach can't control the locker room. I mean, that's no real surprise there. But, yeah, it's just like, okay, well, you know, when do these front office guys, and I have a feeling when I mean front office guys, it's just going to be Gar Forman who pays with his job, and, you know, John Paxson will be up and above it just being kind of like, well, you know, I'm just the president, you know, I'm the team president, and I don't make these decisions, that's the general manager stuff, which we all know is BS, but, you know, I don't get it. I'd like to see a winner or at least a competitive team. And, you know, anytime, you know, with maybe the exception of his last year here, when Thibodeau coached the team, they were at least always a threat in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, now, like I said, I mean, if they get in as a 7 or an 8 seed, do you really see them even winning a game from a Cleveland, a Boston, or a Toronto in a first round series?
Well, you know, I mean, this is where, listening last night, Charles took a shot at Dwayne Wade. You know, they asked him about his comment or whatever. He goes, ask me again in 2 weeks. He goes, and then tell me where the Bulls are. See what I think of the comment. Yeah, you know, but you're right. I mean, when Tibbs was there, it was whoever LeBron played for, and then the Bulls, and then everybody else.
Yeah, you know, and I know, you know, this is the NBA, you know, and teams go through this, you know, with, you know, there obviously there's your exceptions. You know, San Antonio is always good enough to not have to really wipe everything out and rebuild. So, you know, there are a few teams that can avoid this, but for the majority of it, I mean, you know, people probably forget that Golden State was really bad for a long time. You know, go back 4 or 5 years and look at, you know, their record. you know, I know now it's all kind of covered up because, you know, you have, you know, Curry there and Thompson there, and, you know, they're winning basically every night. So, but yeah, for, you know, for a long time, you know, they were bad, you know, and you can really, you know, like I said, you can go through every team. I mean, the Celtics were down for how long? They seem to be on the upswing now. You know, the Wizards to turn their season around. Remember, the Wizards started 2-8, and everybody was like, oh, you know, what's wrong with this team? You know, they're terrible. They, you know, they made a bad coaching hire, and, you know, now all of a sudden they're, I believe I heard today they were undefeated in January. So, you know, maybe, you know, they're a team we have to look out for. But, you know, they've been, you know, they've been down. You know, Milwaukee's been rebuilding now for a few years, and, you know, everybody keeps saying, this is the year. Remember last year, everybody was on the Milwaukee bandwagon, and I don't think they made the playoffs. You know, and right now this year, they're on the outside looking in again. So, you know, Philadelphia's trusting the process. They seem to be improving, but, you know, just because you have 17 wins, I mean, what does that mean? So, you know, we go through this, and I understand the Bulls are going through it. But, I mean, how, you know, how much confidence do you have that the Bulls rebound, Dan, or are they just going to go right back to, you know, mediocre? They're a middle-of-the-pack team with middle-of-the-pack draft picks, and they just can't get any better.
I think that's pretty much their destined doom, unless, of course, they unload, which basically means they trade Jimmy away for a higher draft pick. But in their recent history of drafting players, I mean, let's just say somehow they end up with, they trade away Jimmy and end up with a lottery pick and get to pick number one. Who are they going to pick? A kid from a one-and-done school or a guy who's a fifth-year senior coming out of, you know, a community college? And I know that's a complete exaggeration. But, you know, that's the reports I've been reading and gathering on a lot of their draft picks. While they are talented, you know, they're just not going to put you over the edge. I mean, even if they do go for the, quote, rebuild, I mean, I don't know who you're going to get for Jimmy, from who or for what. And even that, how does that turn your team around? It doesn't.
Well, here's a scenario, Dan. Let me know what you think of this. One of the rumored suitors for Jimmy Butler is the Boston Celtics. They hold the Brooklyn Nets first-round draft pick. So there's a very good chance that it ends up landing in that number one spot as the lottery goes down. Right now, the hot name is a player by the name of Markel Fultz. He's a point guard out of Washington who's 6'4". He's a freshman. He'll be a one-and-done guy. Does that excite you about the Bulls turning it around?
No, because it would be basically like having Jimmy and all the guys they have now. So you're back to having just one guy.
Well, you know, the funny thing is the guy to project in number two is out of UCLA. His name is, I'm going to probably butcher his first name, but I believe it's pronounced Lonzo Ball. Oddly, basically, he's Jimmy Butler-like. You know, he's a 6'6 swingman. So, you know, if you end up with this top pick, you know, even at number three, there's a 6'8 small forward by the name of Josh Jackson who has similar skills to Jimmy Butler. So you're basically moving Jimmy Butler to move up into the draft to draft Jimmy Butler. And I just don't know if, you know, is that the better rebuild around? I mean, you would obviously get younger, but, you know, then you're surrounding this guy with, you know, Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, Nikola Mirotic, if you can't move him, Robin Lopez. Does this guy make the team any better? Does he make the team any worse? I mean, I would probably side on the worst part, at least to start out, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, but Isn't that what they would want so then they can get in the lottery again for the following draft? I mean, because if you look at it, just over the last handful of years, you got Bobby Portis, Doug McDermott, with Maricich, and Doug Valentine. And, you know, Valentine, you would either expect to be playing a lot more or down in the D League playing every day. So I don't understand what his purpose, what by carrying him on the team, what carrying him on the team does. But even then, I mean, I'd love to see, you know, Dougie and Portis break out, but I think we've seen who they are. Which I don't,
and you,
I don't know.
You forgot the breakout star Paul Zipser there when you were going through your guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you know, and again, I don't know, you know, if this is the way to go. I mean, obviously, you know, most teams seem to think it is, but then you wonder, I mean, you know, even if you get a star player, you know, say you land that guy, you know, the Pelicans have a star player by the name of Anthony Davis. You know, everybody's convinced, I mean, he's one of the top guys in the NBA, and they're 19 and 30. So, that doesn't, you know, guarantee you. I mean, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, while they are winning, they're 28 and 21. They have Russell Westbrook, but do you consider them a threat to win the title? You know, and I mean, even your Knicks, you know, Carmelo Anthony's still a star, no matter how you want to look at it. They're 21 and 29. So, you know, just because you land this guy, you know, if you don't have the pieces to put around them, you know, what good does it do? You know, I mean, the 76ers have been looking for pieces for how long? And, you know, oddly, after all this crap, it appears like they have one in Joel Embiid. Okay, what about all the other guys you drafted? So, you know, yeah, so, you know, it's just kind of, you know, and you look at some of the bottom teams, I mean, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, what they're doing. You know, what the hell is Orlando doing? You know, they brought Scott Skiles in, and he bailed on them. You know, but, you know, you wonder what's going on there. You know, everybody thought the Lakers would be better after the couple of drafts they had, and, you know, they're not any better. You know, Dallas just seems to be getting old, but, you know, Phoenix kind of bottomed out. You know, they were a decent team, at least a playoff contender, and, you know, all of a sudden they're terrible, and, you know, you just gotta kind of wonder, you know, what goes on, you know, with these teams, or how much tanking is involved, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's something to throw out at you. You know, the biggest complaint with the Bulls, especially with like a guy like Doug McDermott or Valentine, was, you know, because they're not from London, you know, the 3-4 full years at college. You know, and that's saying that, well, they're not as good as the ones and done because, you know, for those 3 years extra, they were playing against college players where the one and done kids obviously come up and then they immediately are up in the NBA. However, you know, two teams you mentioned, like Sixers and the Bucks, they've had their shot at number one draft pick. And, I mean, you know, just think about all the number ones that Cleveland traded away to put together the Kings team. And, I mean, have any of these teams won with one of those rookies in their first year? No. And even then, after they've been in 3-4 seasons, they're still, you know, having trouble making it to a playoff in general. So I guess I have to go back on what I said, but does it really matter? You know, if you get the one and done or you get the guy, I think it all comes down more to scouting. So would you say maybe the Bulls don't have that great of scouting within their...
Yeah. You know, that's the question you have to start asking. And you need to stop killing Doug McDermott because he is shooting 37% from the 3-point line. And, you know, that's what his job is. You know, he's brought in there to shoot three-pointers. So stop killing Doug. You know, he used to be your guy. I don't know what he did to you, but now you're killing poor Doug. Valentine's pretty much...
Listen to Chicago radio.
You know,
and all the
key... Yeah, I don't... There's a reason why I don't do that. You were breaking up really bad. You must be in that fun zone with your cell phone. But, yeah, you know, I mean... You know, Denzel Valentine has been a bit of a bust, but there were people saying that when the Bulls picked him, that it was going to be very iffy on, you know, if his skills would transition to the NBA. So, you know, him having his struggles is, you know, not that big a deal, but I mean, you know, this draft as a whole, the 2016 draft, you know, it was considered one of the weaker ones. You know, a lot of guys said, you know, it was Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, and that was it. And, you know, Ben Simmons, you know, he got hurt. Even Brandon Ingram isn't doing that well with the Lakers. You know, they've been bringing him off the bench. You know, he hasn't really, you know, been that guy or, you know, that star. But, you know, you could go through the draft and none of these guys have been. You know, I mean, just the top 10 alone. After Simmons went 1 and Ingram 2, it was Jaylen Brown to the Celtics, Dragan Bender to the Suns, Chris Dunn to the T-Wolves, Buddy Hield to the Pelicans, Jamal Murray to the Nuggets, Marquise Chris to the Kings, Jacob Poeltl to, I think that's the Falcons logo, or the Hawks logo, and then Thon Maker to the Bucks. Dan, how many of these guys have you heard of this year? I know Jamal Murray had one really good game against the Bulls, oddly enough, but how many of those other guys have you heard of this year doing anything?
Not really.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's more... This one, I think it's more of a question of draft than, you know, anything else.
Well, I mean, here's something you've got to wonder, too. You know, taking kind of a cue from the Kings, he went back to Cleveland and almost dismantled the team, but basically got rid of all the rookies. So what does that tell you?
Well, they do have some rookies on their bench. Those were the guys LeBron was ripping when he was talking about not having playmakers, because their backup point guard is a rookie second round pick by the name of Kay Fedler, and he was the guy LeBron's killing.
Yeah, but you remember all the Cleveland Cavaliers 5 years in a row first round draft pick off of five, and then. You know,
yeah, and they turn that into nothing. So,
yeah.
So, but well, here you go, Dan. The rookies, they're counting Joel Embiid as a rookie this year because this is really the first year he's played. But I'm going to throw him out. The leading rookie scorer, Dan, is Dario Saric from the Philadelphia 76ers. All right, all you need to be the leading rookie scorer, Dan, is to average 9.9 points a game.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that's it.
Those are going to be highlight numbers.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can go through, and I mean, it's just, you know, there's, you know, the guys, yeah, okay, you know, this guy's this, like I mentioned, Dragan Bender was a top pick for the Suns. He averages 3.1 points a game for them. So, you know, I believe the Celtics draft pick, that Jaylen Brown, I believe they allowed him to go overseas and play because I don't think they had room for him on the roster. So, yeah, it was, you know, I mean, obviously the Bulls struggled with Valentine, but it wasn't much of a draft. And, you know, you do wonder, you know, if there's, you know, a weakness in their scouting department. I mean, apparently Paul Zipser is a find, Dan. Everybody keeps saying it. You know, he was a second round draft pick. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, there's really nothing, you know, you can really do now except wait and see. So, yeah, I, you know, again, I, you know, what the hell do you do? You know, but yeah, you were, you know, you were mentioning Cleveland. So I had to look up, you know, they had Andrew Wiggins. He was the number one overall pick. They, of course, turned him into Kevin Love. Anthony Bennett will go down as one of the biggest busts in draft history. I believe he's actually out of basketball right now. He may be playing overseas. And then they took Kyrie Irving number one overall in 2011. He obviously turned out okay. He had a little bit of injury issues, but he's turned out okay. And then, of course, the other one was back in 2003 when they took LeBron. So, you know, they, in reality, you know, they hit on LeBron and, you know, Irving. Wiggins is going to be a very good player, just not for them. So, you know, they really only missed on Bennett with that number one pick.
Yeah, but no, that was my point was the four or five in a row. And then didn't they move everyone so that they could bring King and let him build his team?
Yeah, well, you know, looking at this, I don't think, you know, like their first round draft pick in 2015 was a guy by the name of Tyus Jones. I don't think he's on the team. Wiggins is already gone. Their other first round pick in 2013 was Sergei Karasev out of Russia. I don't believe he ever came over to play. So, well, maybe he did. Let me see what they have stat wise here for him if he's ever played. Oh yeah, he played 22 games for them. Before he's actually in Brooklyn right now. So there you go. But yeah, they, you know, they moved a lot of these guys on to, you know, bring LeBron's guys in with the salary. But you know, the sad part, Dan, is down the road they're going to pay for that because they don't have these draft picks. You know, I mean, you and I are already speculating that LeBron's going to leave when this contract's up because he's just not getting his way. And then, you know, they're saddled with all those big crappy deals he had them sign, and they're not going to be able to replace their guys. I think in a few seasons we're going to be looking at Cleveland at the bottom of the standings.
Yeah, and they're going to have to sell their trophy just to make ends meet.
Right. You know, I mean, they're going to be sad. You know, if LeBron leaves and Kyrie sticks around, they'll be okay. You know, they'll fall down to that 8, 9, 10 space where the Bulls are. But if Kyrie Irving packs up and leaves, you're looking at a team that's a lottery team. You know, because then you're banking on Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, you know, guys like that. You know, all the guys LeBron said, oh, yeah, you got to keep these guys around. So, you know, we'll see. Oh, but well, here you go, Dan. Since we've been harping on the NBA, I'll throw the schedule out at you. It's the ESPN doubleheader night, so you get two games on the Mickey Mouse Network. Indiana Pacers at the Orlando Magic. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network are the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Cleveland Cavaliers. We have the Toronto Raptors at the Boston Celtics, the New York Knicks at the Brooklyn Nets, the Atlanta Hawks at the Miami Heat. The Heat, by the way, have won 8 in a row. The New Orleans Pelicans at the Detroit Pistons. The Philadelphia 76ers at the Dallas Mavericks. The Memphis Grizzlies at the Denver Nuggets. The Milwaukee Bucks at the Utah Jazz. The LA Clippers at the Phoenix Suns. The second game of the doubleheader tonight is the Chicago Bulls at the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then the night in the NBA wraps up with the Charlotte Hornets at the Golden State Warriors. So there are some interesting games on the schedule tonight.
Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, well, you know, I think Boston-Toronto, because Boston just moved past Toronto in the Eastern Conference standings. So I think that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it'll be fun to see Philadelphia against Dallas. you know, you get all those kind of funky things, but you know, other than that, it's, you know, and a lot of this, I mean, you know, all this LeBron crap. I mean, I'm not a huge, you know, we've been over this a million times. I'm not a huge NBA fan to begin with. And now you get this, all this LeBron crap. I just can't deal with it. It just makes me want to turn it off.
Can we tell you retired?
You know, I'll just, you know, I'll come back to you when he's playing, you know, when he leaves Cleveland again, and you know, you have to listen to all these people, you know, burn his jersey or start crying about him leaving and, you know, whatever they, you know, they have going on.
Maybe he can go to the Knicks.
Maybe. Well, you know, the big thing now is apparently the Knicks are still pressuring Cleveland to do a Kevin Love Carmelo deal. And, the Cavaliers just haven't given in yet. You know, you wonder sooner or later, I mean, he's LeBron's buddy. So, you know, you have to wonder if sooner or later that deal happens, don't you?
I mean, yeah, but he seems pretty, well, he didn't have any choice words for him, the whole situation. Based on his comment, whether he wanted it to happen or not.
Yeah, you know, with all the crap has said, he's really middle of the road on this. You know, he hasn't came out to defend Love, and he hasn't supported Anthony. But, yeah, you just wonder if, you know, the Knicks' continual pursuit will eventually, you know, get them a deal, or LeBron will, you know, maybe go behind the scenes and get the deal done. But, yeah, it could be, you know, it could be quite interesting to see if they would, you know, if they would slide into a deal like that.
Well, I mean, do you know how long his contract is, Carmelo?
What's Carmelo got left? I think it's...
I know it was a 5
Got to have three years. Yeah, was it 3 years left now? I think he signed it 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, technically this would be the third year, so this season and the next two.
So, yeah, you know, it's not a huge length of time, but it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, something. Let me see if I can get a more exact date on his contract. But yeah, it seems like he's in the third year of the deal. Again, maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part, or maybe on Knicks fans' part.
No,
or
it's
however
the third year.
Is it? Are you sure?
Yeah. Because I'm looking right at it right now.
Okay.
He signed it.
All right, yeah, I was trying to find it. I was getting there trying to find it. So,
and then the money in the 2018-19 deal, it looks like there might be an opt-out, but there's no, you know, terms of the contract, really.
I decided I would try, you know, since we always use, you know, MLB trade rumors, I decided I would try their... You know, they have the link to the basketball site, you know, basketballreference.com. And I thought I would try there, and it doesn't appear to be as, you know, like the baseball one has all the contract info and stuff on guys, but this one, the basketball one, doesn't seem to be as well. Oh, yeah, here it is. You got to go. Well, you go all the way down to the bottom of the page, and they only have this year's. It looks like, yeah, you were saying two more years. This year his salary is $22.875 million. Next year it goes to $24.559 million. And then the year after that it goes to $26.243 million. So, oh, and there is a, yeah, 2018, did you say, is that an option year?
I Well, on Spot Track, it seems like to me that all the option here they're in green. So I think that might be an option here.
Yeah, they have it listed here as an early termination. So I don't know if that's the last year of the deal or not, but for 2018-19, it's $27.928
million. Well,
so that's, you know, that's what that, that's three seasons down the road when Carmelo will be 35. So.
Yeah, but I mean, even if he does have that opt-out for that season, it would work perfect for the Kings because they could both play, you know, this the rest of this season and all of next year together. And then both opt out to go join someone else.
Right, yeah, they could both go to Golden State. So, no, they wouldn't do that. Sorry.
The Clippers.
So, yeah, there you go. That would be funny. Or the Lakers. How about that? They decide they're going to they want to go out west, so they're going to Los Angeles. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe the Knicks win them over in the end. The weird part is, like, I don't really know, well, I shouldn't say even the weird part, but I think the hard part is, you know, if you don't get Love, you know, the Cavaliers have absolutely nothing else they can give you. you can't take Tristan Thompson in return. You know, I don't think they're going to give you Kyrie Irving because LeBron's crying about not having playmakers as it is. So.
Well, and you're not taking back your two former players, J.R. Smith and Mike Shumpert.
Right. You're not going to bring those guys back. But, you know, I was a little disappointed. I was hoping we would get a full report from the Cavs tryout and, you know, see what the heck was going on there, but I haven't seen anything about it. I did think it was funny that they went to LeBron and he said he was okay with all the people the Cavs invited to the tryout. So, you know, thank you, LeBron, for allowing your team to try to do what you wanted them to do. That was very nice of you. So.
Well, and for being okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, enough of that, Dan. I no more LeBron, please. I did find something. Let's call it humorous, so to speak. I got a kick out of this one. The Indians went out today and signed Willie Mopeña to a minor league contract. Now, oddly, Dan, Willie Mo hasn't played in the majors since 2011.
Is he a catcher? He used to be a Red Sox, right?
He's been a little bit of everything here, according to his career record. He started in Cincinnati, spent some time with the Red Sox, a little with the Nationals, a little with the Mariners, and a little with the Diamondbacks before he headed over to Japan, where I believe he did have some success. I want to pull up his Japanese record here. Of course, the Mickey Mouse website is not in-depth enough to carry that, and that's where I saw the story on. So I have to hunt it down on our baseballreference.com site. But,
he fell in the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was definitely
still in the game. Now, what did it – was he a catcher? I swear I thought that's what he was, but I could be wrong, first baseman.
Yeah, he was – I think he played some first base. He also played some outfield. But now apparently he is a designated hitter. They're bringing him in exclusively as a designated hitter, and that's what he's going to do. Yeah, in Napoli, who's still on the free agent market. So, he's coming back as a 30.
They didn't want to give up their draft picks themselves.
Yeah, I guess not. He's coming back as a 35-year-old. Let's see if I can get some more info here. It looks like he played for three different Japanese teams. The Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks, the Oryx Buffaloes, and the Raccoon Golden Eagles. So he will be returning to, you know, and it's just a minor league contract. Oddly, I don't even believe he got the deal where they, you know, they give you the invite to spring training. I'm not even sure if he got that. So I don't quite know if, you know, if this is anything of interest or any, you know, anything like that. So.
Well, at least his agent's still working for him, right?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was fun. You know, I mean, he's a big dude. You know, they list him at 6'3", 260. Idiot, you got to change over to the Japanese stats if you want to see what he did there. You think I would know that by now, right? So I've only been on this site, how many times? But, yeah, I remember him having one big, pretty big home run year. Yeah, he hit 32 home runs in 2014. In Japan. Last year he hit 17. So
yeah, but over there their pitchers do the home run derby.
Yeah.
Which I forgot the young man's name, but I definitely like to see him over here.
So yeah, it looks like he hit 21 his first year there. His second year he got injured, only played 55 games. So yeah, you know, we'll. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a bad, it's kind of funny to, you know, talk about and, you know, all that other kind of funky stuff. But, you know, I just think it's kind of neat that, you know, the guy is, you know, still playing the game. You know, obviously he still loves the game. He's still playing the game. So, you know, I hope, you know, if he doesn't make the team, maybe he hangs around in AAA or something like that for a while. And, you know, who knows?
I don't know. I feel like, well, obviously we don't know, but, you know, there's that old adage that maturity can change, do some things. I think it's quite possible he makes this team. But then again, you know, coming off the bench or in the DH role, I find it just odd that they still haven't secured that spot.
Well, you know, they did bring in Encarnacion, who looks like he'll lock
that down. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you always need, you know, if Pena can play the outfield, you know, and he is a former, basically, it was more a left fielder than anything else, but, you know, if he could give him a little bit in the outfield and could hit, you know, he's always had kind of a power bat. So, you know, you wonder if maybe it's something down the line they could actually use.
Yeah.
You know, for, you know, this year or, you know, maybe a year or two you get out of them. And, you know, God forbid they get an injury. You know, he could be very helpful in a situation like that. But, you know, he's a career 250 hitter, and he does have 84 bombs in the majors in his, you know, eight shortened seasons. He played 599 games in 8 years. So, you know, he never really did get a shot to play full time, but You know, who knows? You never know. I mean, it's just kind of fun. I saw the name, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
So I'd be able to be still doing it at his age. Hell, I would if I could.
Yeah.
I was good enough.
You know, and a lot of guys, yeah, you know, a lot of guys recently, you know, there's been talks now that Chris Carter, who hit, I believe he tied for the National League lead in home runs last year with 41, he all of a sudden can't find a job. There's talk that he's going to Japan, you know, and it's kind of odd. You know, you look at it and I mean, you know, here's a guy, I know he hit 41 bombs last year. I saw the stat earlier and there's no job for him. I know he's a big strikeout guy, but you know, in the sabermetric era, that's not supposed to matter.
Well, Big Jack. The matter if they like him.
Right.
If he's got a, you know, if he's the quote sexy guy, and I don't mean in a actual, you know, that term, but, you know, that's the business term, sexy position, you know, sexy. He's not Mike Trout, basically.
Right. You know, and that's oddly what is contributing to a lot of Chris Carter's issue is while he is, you know, sabermetrically relevant, you know, he hit 41 bombs, 94 RBIs for a really bad Milwaukee team last year. He only hit 222 and he struck out 206 times.
Well, I think that's what kills him, though, is that 222. But like you said, I don't remember how much batting average matters in sabermetrics. But I think as a whole, you know, everyone can agree that if you're under 250, it's going to make it really difficult. Because nobody wants that guy on their team. I forgot, you know, the guy from, how can I forget his name? Adam Dunn. Nobody wants another Adam Dunn.
Yeah, you know, it's just odd that, you know, even like Milwaukee didn't bring him back. You know, you probably could, you know, at this point in time, you could probably get him pretty cheap. You know, I know the Rangers are still looking for a guy. I don't understand why they haven't signed Mike Napoli yet. But, you know, I mean, in essence, you know, Milwaukee paid him $2.5 million last year to hit 41 bombs. That's a steal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know if, maybe he does go to Japan. You got to kind of figure it out. But yeah, I just find it interesting that, you know, there's those guys, you know, Mike Napoli can't find a team. You know, Chris Carter's out there. He can't find a team. You know, Matt Wieters, who you would describe as a power hitting catcher, can't find a team. You know, these guys that should be relevant with what goes on in baseball, all of a sudden can't get work. And you got to wonder, is it the draft pick attachment? Even though I don't think there is one with Carter. But, you know, yeah, is there a draft pick attachment? What's going on? You know, what's the deal with, you know, it's just kind of weird that, you know, power was the in thing. And now all of a sudden guys who hit home runs can't get signed.
Trying to come up with some sort of answer, but, you know, maybe that's something you and I could take a little bit of a deeper look into. For tomorrow.
Yeah, why sabermetrics is failing and they're going away from their core of what they said they were going to do? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? What we do have to do, Dan, is the Yahoo Baseball Leagues are now open, so we have to go through last year's and get rid of the dead teams. So we're going to have to, find maybe we can find some time Sunday to do that while we are watching the Super Bowl at your house.
Yeah, well, you know, that's something I've been hearing about a lot lately, and it's just funny.
The Super Bowl or dead team?
I can't find it. Kind of a dead buzz Super Bowl. You know,
a dead Super Bowl?
They can't figure out, they can't figure out a topic on how to discuss the Super Bowl. So they just call people or have them on their show and ask them what do they talk about for the Super Bowl? I mean, it's a Super Bowl. You talk about the same crap you talk about any other Super Bowl. Just like this last presidential election, it was no different than any other election. You still had a Republican, you still had a Democrat. You still had an election, so you cover it. So you cover the Super Bowl the same way you would. You pick the guys out, you break down their stats. But is that the problem today, though? Because I started thinking about it, and, you know, they could be talking about the underdog story with the Falcons and how blah, 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 and they changed. They could be talking about Tom Brady and being suspended for 4 games and still coming back and doing what he's done. I those are just the two literally off the top of my head right now. I mean, if we were in a brainstorming session for 20 minutes, I could probably list off another, 30? I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating. But if you can't figure out, if you are strictly relying on the headline grabbing crap, then, you know, number one, how the hell do they still have shows? But how do you come up with topics every single day if you're only looking for headline grabbing crap, you know, that everyone else is talking about? There's so much that you could be talking about, you know, comparing these two teams. Or hell, if you don't want to, if you get nothing to say about it, talk about the Bulls, the Bears, the Cubs, and the White Sox in Chicago, which the only team you're really going to want to talk about that's going to make you happy is the Cubs, and maybe the White Sox. But again, I mean, what happened to when we like talked about the teams as opponents, not as, well, it's the Falcons and everyone thinks the Patriots are going to win, so no one gives a crap. You know, is there something we could do to generate more interest?
Well, you know, the weird thing about this is, like, this is actually interesting to me because we're talking about two teams with really good offenses. So we could actually get a really entertaining Super Bowl. You know, last year it was very defensive oriented, and, you know, in the end, the Broncos with the best defense in football won. But, you know, this year, I mean, we got two teams that can really score. So, you know, you got to be one, you know, you got to start kind of wondering if maybe, you know, or maybe why they're not taking that route. I mean, I would want to talk about the offenses.
So, but, you know, like I said, we have so much. I just don't know why everyone's kind of killing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I am a little tired of hearing, you know, oh, well, what, you know, if the Patriots win, Roger Goodell gets to hand the trophy. Yeah, so what? You know, he's going to go out there and hand the trophy and walk away. He doesn't care. You know, in the end, they won. You know, they got the suspension of Brady. That's what they wanted. You know, that's just kind of how it goes.
Oh, and there would be kind of, you know, I guess that's one thing I didn't think about. Like you said, you know, he's not going to care no matter what. But still, is there some sort of gotcha back or, you know, slap in the face or something towards Goodell on his side if the Patriots were to win?
Yeah, I guess in a way, you know, like if you're a Patriots fan, obviously you see it that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we're talking about a guy who makes, you know, $30, $40 million a year. Do you think he cares? You know, you think he cares if the Patriots fans like him?
No.
Oh, all right. The music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. But we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live, so meet us here for that. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the stuff that's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a big like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed. Of course, that's at Sports Time Radio. We'll bring back Dan's picks back tomorrow because we got a little tied up. Way too much NBA talk today, Dan. We got to come up with something else for tomorrow. But anyways, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.